Pastor and Mrs. Fisk, got a long question here. I was wondering if you wouldn't mind revisiting the topic of birth control to expound upon something my husband and I have wrestled with. We were brought into the knowledge that hormonal birth control methods are abortifacients before we were married, thanks be to God, and also deeply held the belief that children are the greatest blessing of marriage, and so we began our family immediately when we were married and rejoiced greatly. After our second child was born, I was diagnosed with major postpartum anxiety, the kind that is completely debilitating if untreated, and led me to the brink of suicide after both my first and second pregnancies. After our third child was born, I was able to use a non-hormonal birth control method, which uses basal body temperature and cycle data entered into an app to track fertility. Essentially, it is the rhythm method, but with such precision that it is 98% effective with perfect use. So yeah, rhythm method is probably not the best way to sell it. Natural family planning is a good way to talk about it. And isn't it something? So 98% effective use, that's better than hormonal. The hormonal is not that good. It's like 90%. So crazy. Because this method could do no harm to a preborn baby conceived unexpectedly, my husband and I decided to use it to allow me a bit of time to recover both mentally and physically from giving birth. Going on. This method worked for the first time since starting our family. I had more than a couple of months between postpartum and my next pregnancy. I was able to recoup and regain my strength before we were quickly blessed with our fourth child, who is due to be born this summer. During the period between our third child's birth and conceiving our fourth child, however, we have both struggled with whether or not we were making the right decision by using birth control at all. I wouldn't call what you're doing birth control, by the way. I wouldn't use it. It's natural family planning. It has an important conversation that we'll have a little bit of here, but just I wouldn't lump it in the same category. You're not in control. You're not in control. Even one that couldn't harm a preborn child. We've heard arguments on both sides. Your answer to a question from a few weeks ago was a relieving not falling off either side of the horse moment for both of us. Good. But still left me wondering if the only time it is appropriate to take steps to avoid pregnancy is when the mother's life is at risk. My life is not at risk due to my postpartum anxiety. That is, as long as I properly treat it so I do not become suicidal. And otherwise, I have perfectly healthy pregnancies. Getting to the end of this. I worry that I am simply too weak in my faith to bear the sufferings that come along with the blessings of childbearing, and that I am being sinful to have to put off having more children, even if only for a time. As the birth of our fourth child draws near, I know that the decision to use the method we used before is approaching, and my husband and I are both struggling with how to proceed. Should I view this birth control method as daily bread God has provided so I may grow my family in a healthy and measured way that takes my bodily weaknesses into account? Or should I flee this method as a temptation to deny the gift of childbearing I've been blessed with simply because there is suffering involved? I want to be a daughter of wisdom in this, and any insight you may have is deeply appreciated, Andy and Beth. It's just a really, really well-written letter, by the way. You're free. It sounds like you just thought this through. And anyone who's going to tell you you have to at this point in your scenario is thinking about themselves more than you. I want Meredith to talk, but I also want to focus on Bible too. Psalm 127, quiver full. Behold, children are a heritage from Jesus, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the sons of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They should not be ashamed, they shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. From this, you definitely have amongst the Christians who are resisting the birth control movement as something that is destructive to the church, an awareness that having a quiver full of sons is a good thing. But because in our sinful condition, we use the best things of God in the worst possible way, of course we make it into a good work by which we justify ourselves. And so you're going to have groups that say, oh, well, we're living in a time when people don't want to have kids. If you don't have as many kids as possible, you're not faithful. And the thing is, like, that's the definition of works righteousness. And by works righteousness, I don't mean doing good works. I mean doing good works to save yourself. Like, what, you can't have as many kids as possible. You can only have the children God gives you. Now, it's true that you can stop that, kind of. He can give you over to your sin. He can allow you to reject the gifts in your unbelief so that it appears that you're stopping him. But you're only going to get the ones that he gives you. And so the idea that you're wrong because you aren't trying to have as many as possible as fast as you can is legalism. It's a really rank and ugly legalism. But maybe there could be more babies that would be in heaven. Who do you think you are? Who chooses the elect? Who does the saving? Who creates in the womb? You're not going to make more by trying harder. Straight up. And so if in your wisdom you decide to abstain for a while, where is that one? I go past it. There it is. 1 Corinthians 7, where Paul, we talked about this like last week. Paul's talking about marriage. And he says, do not deprive one another. This, you know, have regular coitus, except with consent for a time that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer. So like, well, pray during that time, right? I mean, this isn't a verse about natural family planning, but he certainly is saying like, it's okay to not have sex for a little while. And you can focus on trusting more in God during that time and then come together again so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. So like, I don't see why deciding to space out your pregnancies should be considered in any way anything other than taking care of your family. I think that, so this is where, again, the phrase birth control means not having kids. And that's not what you're doing. You're not trying to not have kids. You're trying to have kids carefully, wisely, judiciously, with awareness of your body, by consent, without magic. like, you're free. What? You're absolutely free. Sounds like you're just being wise. God bless you both. You know, it's not that hard to abstain. Or not hard. Not that easy.
Yeah, I was going to say, really?
It's not that hard to. It's not that easy to abstain. So for you to see that this is wise for you as a family, and to take that path for a time, like the bigger issue, the issue we're really fighting against as a culture is like women who don't want children because they're antinatal, like they're just anti-children. That is a spiritual sickness that's a blight on all of us. All of us. The fact, again, that we're like, well, the answer is that we must make all of our women have as many children until they die. Like, that's not, you know, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Like, that's not what that is. That is, it is a rank legalism. So, yeah, I got another Bible verse we can look at, but I want to let you talk more for a bit here.
Wow. I had lots of things that were going through my head, and then I was expecting you to go for a little bit. The comment about how it's not easy to choose the rhythm method or the natural family planning is true. And yet at the same time, putting God's hand of creation in the middle of it is essentially what you're confessing when you choose that. You're saying that we believe that we've been given this gift in marriage. You have, is it three gifts you're given as a couple?
Oh, that marriage has got three pillars. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And one of those is very much so the bearing of children, mm-hmm. offspring that will come. And I, like you said, you're not denying that or turning away from it by saying, God has blessed me with a very fertile body, mm-hmm. in that I can only go a few months and then another baby is created, mm-hmm. within me. I mean, in some ways, it's like your blessing has become your curse, mm-hmm. mm-hmm. in that I look at that and go, wow, I wished we could have had that, mm-hmm. because my body couldn't do that. Mm-hmm. And so I had larger gaps between being able to conceive. And isn't it just so that all things turn us back to the fact that we can't save ourselves and we are living in a fallen world where even the gifts become curses trials and turn us back to prayer and
where things are not I don't want to say they're not black and white, but things are complicated.
Exactly.
So like we think for our family, mm-hmm. one of the reasons why we didn't turn around as fast was because breastfeeding mm-hmm. negated that. But not everyone has that experience with breastfeeding, right? So it's not like it's a 100% answer, right? When you're dealing with, I have no idea what your postpartum depression is like, right?
So
there are many factors that can contribute to that beyond just the pregnancy itself. Mm-hmm. Nutrition, exercise, yada, 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 on and on, right?
And then the sleep.
Sleep.
A lot of times.
Yeah.
It's just something you can't avoid because your body is so exhausted that there's no way that you're going to be able to live mentally as stable as you do when you're not that tired.
All the things that impact your wellness, so to speak, mm-hmm. right, come into play. And so everyone's going to have a unique story in these things. And the issue is, are we a people of life or not? That's the issue. And so striving to be a people of life means striving to be people of life. I don't see anything what you said that tells me, oh, we're part of the culture of death. We don't really love children. Or we think children are something that, you know, we only need so many. There are people who, like I said, that will find themselves in scenarios where they're just not able to anymore. It is too dangerous in some way. How you assess that, though, I mean, I think this is kind of key. Like, the fact that you're feeling bad about it, like, tells you you're fine, actually. It's the one who's so confident and even cocksure about, well, I don't need any more kids, or I don't want kids, not for me. Like, that's the thing where it's like, wow. Like, what's the problem with the babies, man? Like, why do you, what do you got to deal with there, you know? So, I think you both should feel very confident in your decision. And, you know, like Paul says, like, by consent, deprive each other for a time and then come back together. Like, that's cool. It's the, I'm going to decide to control God's creation of life. I'm going to, as a woman, make my fertility the biggest problem in our marriage. I'm going to chemically alter myself and take on all sorts of potential damage in order to try to be more like a man and be part of the work economy, post-World War II industrialized society. Right, all of that's like kind of a challenge. We got to face that. That's been killing us. Abstinence for the sake of mental health as you work toward the next baby. God bless you. You know, God bless you. Your piety is awesome.